Jesus Sinners Doth Receive, or Jesus Sinners Will Receive is what we're going to be taking a look at. And on this day is Tuesday, September the 10th, in the year of our Lord, 2019. And with us is Pastor Mark Smith.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing very good. Yourself?
I'm just great. I had a little bit of stuff I had to do here. My earphones got tangled and everything, so we needed to switch chairs. So the morning got off to kind of a rough start.
Yes.
I do have something for you, though, today.
What do you got?
I've got a book on great Christian hymn writers.
Really?
That I'm going to give to you. Maybe you can use it.
Yes, because sometimes our fireplace doesn't have enough wood. So
thanks a lot. You're very kind. You're very kind in your
well, thank you.
Your appreciation.
I didn't realize you would think I was very kind in that.
That's what you call irony, Tom. Irony.
Okay. So is Erdmann Neumeister in there? In the book?
I don't see him right offhand.
Well, that's because you haven't opened the book yet.
Yes, I've perused it. But I think there's, you know, our friend Wentworth.
Yes.
You know, the female hymn writer. She's in here, I'm sure.
Oh. Well, that's... You mean the translator?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think her name's Wentworth, but I can't remember.
Wentworth?
Yeah, something like that.
She's written a lot of hymns.
Now, did you notice that this hymn is in two places?
Yes, I did. In fact, I wondered which one we were going to talk about. I've got Jesus Sinners Doth Receive, and what the other one says Jesus Sinners Will Receive, or what?
It's not in there.
It's not in here?
Nope.
Okay, well, I've got 609. I've got hymn 609.
That's the one we're going to be taking
a look at. In the Lutheran Service Book.
But I got a joke to tell you first.
Okay, all right.
This man had a duck. It was his pet.
Okay.
And woke up one morning, and it appeared the duck wasn't breathing. So he took it to a veterinarian, and he said, I think my duck is sick. And the veterinarian looked at it, and he said, no, I think it's dead.
Yeah.
And he said, is there any tests you can do? And he said, well, yes. And he called a Labrador in, a dog, and the dog started sniffing. And then the dog shook his head, no. And the vet said, no, he's dead. Well, is there another test you can do? Well, I do have this cat. And so the cat walked in and started sniffing. And then it shook its head, no. And the veterinarian said, I'm sorry, your duck is dead. And then the man said, well, what do I owe you? And he said, $1,000. And he said, why? Well, $500 for the lab test and $500 for the CAT scan.
That's pretty good.
I know.
I didn't anticipate that answer at all.
No.
I thought he was going to sell him the old Labrador dog or something. And
we were at the 170th anniversary for St. Paul de Pere Sunday, and they had us all at tables.
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
We were sitting with new members there, Michael and Michelle, I believe their names were.
Uh-huh.
And Michael told me this joke.
That's a great joke.
Yeah,
I'm going to try to remember that. Lab test.
Yeah.
And CAT scan.
Yes. Pretty easy. If you remember what dog it is.
Yeah.
At first, I almost forgot about the dog. Oh, boy. Now, this is a week that they're trying to raise money for KFUO.
That's right. Rally week.
And they need to realize that none of that money goes to certain programs. I'm one of them. Uh-huh. Issues, et cetera, is another. That we raise our own funds. So if you're at all interested in also supporting Law and Gospel, listen to the end of the program, and it tells you where to send the check, how to make the check out, and the address. And that would be much appreciated. Also, I want to underscore that the congregations I was at called a full-time pastor, so I'm available for preaching now on Sundays. And I also announced that in light of the fact that I am related, my brother-in-law and his wife are magicians, I am willing to do magical shows for children of either a half hour or an hour. And I'll bring Pastor Mark Smith with me. And
I'll disappear.
Make him disappear.
You might make the whole crowd disappear, Tom.
It's amazing. I tell you, it's really something. In fact, I bought a book on mathematics as to how to do certain card tricks.
Uh-huh.
And they can't even figure out why it works, the fellows who wrote the book. It's just...
No kidding.
It's utterly amazing. So,
well, you know, I've got 11 fingers. Yeah. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and 5 more makes 11.
Why do we have him on for theology if he can't understand addition?
You know, for the longest time, as a kid, I was told that joke, and I just couldn't figure out. I knew it was wrong. I just couldn't figure out why.
Jesus sinners and people who don't know math, he doth receive.
Yes, math was not my strength.
So, first stanza.
Jesus sinners doth receive. Oh, may all this saying ponder, who in sin's delusions live, and from God and heaven wander. Here is hope for all who grieve. Jesus sinners doth receive. You know, just a short while on KFUO, they had a interviewee that had written a book on grief. And here we see it in the very first verse, grieve.
Yeah, she was talking about that she decided to write the book because of miscarriages and death of loved ones.
And Professor Hill from Wisconsin Lutheran College, yes.
Okay.
She had written a book on grief.
Now, what's interesting is the first phrase is repeated in every verse.
Jesus sinners, you're right. Jesus sinners doth receive. Absolutely. It's a good thing to remind everybody.
What's significant about that?
Well, because we need to be reminded. You know, we all sin.
Right.
And we sin continually. It, by thought, word, and deed, we'll walk out the church after hearing a good sermon and who knows, stub our toe or catch our finger in the car door or what, and let out an expletive we shouldn't have, and we need to be reminded that our sins are totally forgiven, absolutely forgiven, washed away forever in holy baptism.
Now, you could not put, let's say, in Christianity, God sinners doth receive. You could not put any other religion there.
No.
See, that's the big, long gospel difference between Christianity is God receives sinners.
That's right.
Every other god of every other religion only receives good people.
Yeah, people that think that they have appeased him somehow.
Yes, well said. And they think that by their works, that's how they get received. And you hear this at funerals all the time. Well, we know he's, you know, going to be saved because he was such a
wonderful
good man.
Person. Yes.
Boy, the person, if he's a Christian and would hear that, he would roll over in his grave, so to speak.
Right. That's right.
Because that's not what he has discovered in the spirit now that he's met with Jesus.
We all know we're poor, miserable sinners.
This is really critical that could be above church doors. That in Christianity, Jesus receives sinners. You don't have to change in order to be received.
That's a good idea for a church sign.
Oh, I know.
Very simple. Jesus sinners doth receive because we don't make pretenses. We're not exclusive or anything like that. It includes all.
And you take a look at the culture of Jesus' day. How did he do that? By eating with people he shouldn't have been eating with.
That's right.
With people.
That's right. This man receiveth sinners and eats with them. That was the claim that the Pharisees used to put.
Exactly. So you'd have to update it for a sermon today.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this phrase is in one of the lessons that Jesus sinners
doth receive.
Yeah, yeah. So it would be
one of the lessons this coming Sunday.
Right.
Probably the gospel.
No. Yeah, it is this coming Sunday.
This coming Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's right. What a difference Christianity makes. Oh, may all the same ponder. That was your point. Ponder means what?
Reflect on.
That's better. I was going to say think of, but you're right. Reflect. Who in sin's delusions live. Now, one of the delusions we have in sin is that God's not going to receive us unless we
make ourselves
receivable.
Right.
That's why that, that Heidelberg Disputation. We love people who are attracted to us. God makes people attractive to him. And that's why he loves them. It's just the very opposite. Yeah. And from God in heaven wander. That's important. How many congregations have 100% attendance every week?
I don't know of any.
No, I don't either. And sometimes they have good reasons to wander.
Right.
They may be police, nurses, etc.
Right.
But a lot of times people just tend to not come to church.
Drift away. Drift away. And exactly. There's any number of reasons that might make them do that.
And as you were saying about grieve, here is hope for all who grieve. Jesus sinners doth receive. Okay, two.
We deserve but grief and shame, yet his words rich grace revealing. Pardon, peace, and life proclaim. Here our ills have perfect healing. Firmly in these words believe, Jesus sinners doth receive.
Here we go again. Yet his words rich grace revealing. You want to explain the difference between grace, mercy?
Let's see. Grace, mercy, and what's the other one?
Justice.
Justice is when we get what we deserve.
Yes.
Mercy is when we get what we don't deserve, right?
No, that's grace.
Okay, that's grace. Grace is when we get...
If God is merciful,
he's merciful
to you...
If he's merciful...
You don't get what you
we
deserve.
We don't get what we deserve, yes. But grace is when we get what we don't deserve.
Yeah, the 11th finger mark
life and salvation.
Figured it out.
Yes. I wish I could remember that.
Well, you're getting better. You're getting better. Pardon, peace, and life proclaim.
I think it's really helpful. Pardon, peace, and what?
Life proclaim. Here our ills have perfect healing. See, a lot of people don't believe that because their ills keep coming to them, and they don't see how that's perfect healing. But it's perfect healing because they're taken on by Christ. And he was the one who suffered so that we don't need to suffer. And that's where we get comfort when we grieve. Verse 3 is kind of interesting.
Now, that really corresponds to the gospel for this Sunday. It's the lost sheep, the parable of the lost sheep. Sheep that from the fold did stray, no true shepherd e'er forsaketh. Weary souls that lost their way, Christ the shepherd gently taketh. In his arms that they may live, Jesus sinners doth receive. You know, the thing about the lesson this coming Sunday, the first part of that lesson is the lost sheep. And I've been told that sheep are really fairly pretty dumb animals.
Yes.
They cannot retrace their steps. They just, if they wander into a ravine or a canyon or something, they simply don't know enough to replace their step, retrace
their
steps.
That's why you don't want to change the parable to pig herders.
Right.
Because pigs are smart.
Pigs are known to be pretty smart, right?
Yes, exactly. Now, actually, tomorrow's lesson, the Bible study, is going to be the Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel 34.
Right, which corresponds to the gospel.
Very good. Yeah. Yes, it really explains the gospel of the lost sheep. And I don't want to say anything about it because we're going to use it tomorrow. I'll read 4. I, a sinner, come to thee with a penitent confession. Save your mercy, show to me, grant for all my sins remission. Let these words my soul relieve. Jesus sinners doth receive. Now, I thought that in the lost sheep, Jesus comes to us. What's this talking about that we come to him? Isn't that reverse?
No, that's. I was going to ask you the same question myself, because a person might say, well, I come to him with a penitent confession. So what do you mean? I had to come forward with that, and God meets me there. Yes. So what do you say to the person that thinks that, you know, he actually did contribute something anyway? What do you say? Who works that repentance within us? But God himself.
You got to look back at the lost sheep.
Yeah.
The sheep is lost. You said he's dumb.
Right.
He doesn't know where to go.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he sees the shepherd coming to him.
Yeah.
What kind of attitude is he going to have?
Well, if he's really not so dumb, he might be a little ashamed of himself. But
that's called penitence.
Yeah, right.
You see, and that's why the law is so important to preach, to get people to recognize.
Right.
So
that they're lost,
condemned
sinners.
The penitence comes after the gospel is understood. In fact, the best parable on that one really is the prodigal son. Because when he's really out of money, he says, I know what I'll do. I'll go back home. Yeah. I'll tell my dad I'm sorry. And then make me one of your best hired servants.
Yeah.
Then when he sees his father running to him, which he did not expect.
Right.
He thought he would be beaten. And the father holds on to him. Then he leaves that last part out.
That's
true repentance. So true repentance comes about on the basis of the gospel. And the law tells us what we're to be repentant of. But the motivation for it, that's why we always say repentance is two things. It's contrition over sin and faith in Jesus.
Yeah. And, of course, the parable that comes between the lost sheep and the lost son is the lost coin. Well, coins have no sense at all. You know, coin doesn't jump back in the coffer or back in the jar and is found. He has to be searched for. So
yeah, the reading is only on the first one, and the next 2 weeks don't follow it. They jump to the next chapter.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Number five.
Oh, how blessed it is to know, were as scarlet my transgression, it shall be as white as snow by thy blood and bitter passion. For these words I now believe, Jesus sinners doth receive.
Yes. So how blessed it is to know, were as scarlet at my transgression. In other words, it's really keeping me from being saved.
Yeah.
Scarlet was a color that was negative color.
Yes.
And
let's say you're caught in an abominable sin. It's just a community disgrace. And you feel it's going to bring shame upon your family for generations.
Right.
And, you know, that's when the gospel, that's when you're really receptive to, no, you're forgiven. You're entirely forgiven. That sin has been washed away already in your baptism. That is good news, boy.
Yes. And that's why the saints wear robes of white.
Right.
Because Jesus sinners doth receive. Six.
Now my conscience is at peace. From the law I stand acquitted. Christ hath purchased my release and my every sin remitted. Naught remains my soul to grieve. Jesus sinners doth receive.
Notice what we're separated from. The law.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
That's right. From the law I stand acquitted. Right.
Not that we never have to obey it. It's just that the curse of the law.
Curse of the law is gone.
Is gone. Because Christ has purchased my release. I'm going to be talking about that in the sermon.
He had to pay. He had to atone.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That the lesson I'm reading from, it talks about that God redeemed Abraham. And I'm not sure people know when that happened. When he redeemed Abraham, I think most people turn
with the cross.
No,
right?
I mean, what was the occasion when Abraham was redeemed in Abraham's life?
Well, God counted it to him as righteousness when he
believed.
Sure, he believed, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness.
And that's where I'm going to disagree in the sermon.
Uh-oh.
So you got to listen to the sermon. That's what everybody says, even the commentaries.
The sermon today?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm preaching today in 8 minutes.
In the chapel.
Yes. So on your way home, you can listen to that. 7, I'll read. Jesus sinners doth receive. So he not only has it in 7 verses at the end, but he has it at the beginning in the first and last verse. So 9 times. Also, I have been forgiven. And when I on this earth must leave, I shall find an open heaven. Dying still to him I cleave, Jesus sinners doth receive. So, we're not only received by Jesus from the previous verse, from the law I stand acquitted, but we're also received by Jesus because I have been forgiven. Yeah, forgiven means that God no longer holds you accountable for your sin.
Right.
That's really an important thing.
And heaven is open. I'm reminded of another hymn where we sing, "The angel guards the gate no more." Remember how the angel, the cherubim.
That's a hymn we sing?
Yeah. The cherub is guarding the gate to Eden.
Yes.
With the flaming sword. And there's a hymn, I can't remember what the title of it is, but it says, "The angel guards the gates no more. God our thanks we pray."
I never thought that.
So it's an open heaven.
Not for unbelievers.
No.
But for believers. Yeah.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.